The next session in today's lesson is called Empowered by Jesus and covers verses 12 and 13. Those verses read, "So they went out and preached that people should repent. They drove out many demons and anointed many sick people with oil and healed them." Ministry in the name of Christ has always been multifaceted. The six teams of traveling apostles went out as Jesus instructed. Mark mentioned as a point of highest importance that they preached a message of repentance. Basically, they were extending the ministry of Jesus. 1 Thessalonians 1, 9 and 10 tells us that repentance and faith are two sides of the same coin. To repent is to turn from sin and self-reliance. To have faith is to believe in Jesus and follow Him. While some parts of the New Testament do not explicitly mention repentance, this theme is explicit every time belief or faith or trust in Jesus is discussed. Interestingly, here, Mark did not directly mention that true repentance and faith lead to forgiveness, but he had affirmed this connection in his description of the preaching of John the Baptist back in Mark 1:4. The ministry of the Word has always been an essential part of the gospel. Only those who have responded to the good news by repenting and believing are part of the kingdom of God that Jesus inaugurated. Another part of the disciples' ministry was to care for the physical needs of the people they encountered. Human beings have a bodily component and a spiritual component. Thus, meeting the spiritual needs of those who were plagued with unclean spirits, they drove out many demons. Again, they were expanding the ministry of Jesus by destroying the works of Satan. We talked about that briefly in the lesson presented on March 17th, when we covered Mark 3, 23 through 30. The disciples went out under Jesus' authority. Empowered by Him, they brought spiritual relief to suffering souls. This brings us to our second point to remember. Spiritual warfare against the devil is an ongoing responsibility for all Jesus' followers, according to Ephesians 6. Further, the disciples served the physical needs of the sick people they encountered and healed them. It was not that they now had automatic healing power. Rather, they healed because of the power of God flowed through them as Jesus enabled them. In order to symbolize that they did not heal by their own power, the disciples anointed many with oil. Olive oil was commonly available, yet when it was poured on someone, 1 Kings 1:39 tells us that it signified the presence of God. Olive oil was used medically as a balm, as we saw in the parable of the Good Samaritan over in Luke. However, here, the disciples' use of olive oil was figurative. They passed on this practice to the early churches. James 5, 13 through 15 gives guidelines for church leaders to anoint the sick. The present verses in Mark and the verses just mentioned in James are the only places in the Bible that mention this practice. In verses 14 through 29, part of the lesson material for today, but not part of our highlighted verses, Mark interrupted his account of Jesus' ministry to provide information about John the Baptist. John had made the decision to condemn the adulterous relationship between King Herod and the king's brother Philip's wife Herodias. This resulted in imprisonment for John. Later on, Salome, the daughter of Herodias, the woman Herod had taken from his brother to be his wife, carried out her mother's evil plot. John the Baptist was murdered, becoming a martyr for the cause of righteousness. Now, with Jesus' reputation becoming much better known because of the six ministry teams he had sent out, Herod wondered if Jesus might be John the Baptist raised from the dead. Perhaps the point Mark was making by inserting here the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would call it, about John was to draw a strong connection between the ministries of John, Jesus, and the disciples. If John was treated with contempt for his message, it would be no surprise if Jesus and his apostles were treated harshly as well. Jesus' followers would eventually be treated harshly. Persecution, however, did not come on this initial journey of the disciples. Verse 6:34, just after our highlighted verses, tells us that the disciples enjoyed success and popularity, and the crowds around Jesus kept growing. Resting with Jesus is the last section in today's lesson, and it covers verses 30 through 32. Verse 30 reads, "The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all that they had done and taught." We don't know how long the 12 were on the road, a couple of weeks, a couple of months. We just don't know. There must have been a previously arranged designated endpoint when the apostles gathered around Jesus. You can be pretty sure they didn't use Twitter. As these apostles gathered and reported, Jesus was in fact holding them accountable for their work on his behalf. Accountability to those who have sent persons out for ministry is always a good principle. And we saw in Acts 14:27 that the early Christians practiced reporting in as well. What they had done was surely and exactly what Jesus had commissioned them to do: preach repentance, cast out evil spirits, and heal the sick. No doubt there was much excitement and rejoicing as they shared the particulars of their stories. What they had taught was the gospel message of Jesus. Verse 31 and 32 read, "He," that's Jesus, "said to them, 'Come away by yourselves to a remote place and rest for a while.' For many people were coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So they went away in a boat by themselves to a remote place." Here, Jesus was showing that he not only had compassion for the multitudes, but also for those closest to him. Therefore, he asked them to come away and rest for a while. Seasons or times for rest and relaxation are essential. From the beginning, God designated one day in seven for rest. Here, Jesus was insisting that his followers get away and rest. Dealing with people day in and day out can be stressful. If you don't think so, try being in the retail business for a few days, or I expect being a county commissioner would bring some of that stress to you. In these verses, Jesus was encouraging his apostles to get away by themselves to a remote place. Mark provided a helpful explanation. The crowds had not abated, rather they were increasing. Some people were coming and going, undoubtedly asking for healing of some sort, and hanging on Jesus, every word Jesus spoke. Jesus and the 12 did not even have time to eat. This was similar to the situation reported back in when we covered Mark 3:20 on the 17th. In the commentary on Mark 5:21 in last week's lesson material, Joe noted that Jesus often zigzagged across the Sea of Galilee in a boat, going from one ministry opportunity to the next. You may recall that at one point, just as Jesus' boat landed, Jairus had approached him in an attempt to get help for his daughter. Jesus immediately went with him. Mark did not tell us where this remote place was, but in Luke 9:10, Luke indicates that it was Bethsaida, a town near the northernmost point of the Sea of Galilee. Bethsaida was only a few miles from Capernaum, which was likely the starting point for these ministry travel teams. Whatever hopes the disciples had of a quiet place were soon dashed. The crowds were able to follow the progress of the boat around the edge of the lake, and most got there ahead of them. Jesus' compassion for the hungry led him to provide bread and fish for them in the miracle feeding of the 5,000. Jesus' compassion is shown and emphasized in this lesson in many ways. First, he cared deeply about those who needed their sins forgiven, so he sent his disciples to proclaim the good news of repentance and faith for forgiveness of sins. Second, he cared deeply for the sick in spirit and body, so he arranged for people to be set free from demons and disease. Third, he cared deeply for his weary disciples, so he went with them to a solitary place to find rest. And fourth, he cared deeply when people were so hungry that they might pass out, so he miraculously provided them with an unforgettable meal. That ends the highlighted material for today's lesson, but the study material goes on through 7:23. These verses are filled with action-packed stories, as you might expect from Mark. We see as we read through the material, Jesus walking on water, he healed all who touched him, he taught his disciples and some Pharisees from Jerusalem about inner purity, The Pharisees had been complaining that Jesus' disciples or apostles were eating food with unclean hands, thus making themselves unclean. The Pharisees had added hundreds of their own petty rules and regulations to God's holy law. It can cause confusion then, and today we have religious leaders who want to add their own rules and regulations to God's word. Our final point to remember in today's lesson is that we have to be alert for these unneeded rules and not let them interfere or change how we represent God and Jesus in our daily lives. I think the most important point made in the final few verses of today's was Jesus' teaching that it isn't what goes into your mouth that makes you unclean, it's what comes out of your mouth from your heart that creates a problem. If you haven't already, read 7:20 through 7:23 when you have a chance. Let's close with a prayer. Lord, please forgive our sins and make us thankful for each and every blessing you send our way every day. Lord, each of us has a place in your kingdom. Each of us has a job to do in your plan for our lives. Help us, O Lord, to recognize our calling and to respond promptly and properly. Help us to be good representatives for you all day, every day. In Jesus' name, amen.